Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where we're talking content marketing today with Paxton Gray. It was a pleasure to talk to Paxton, who's the Executive Vice President of Digital Marketing Agency 97th Floor. Give them a quick search on Google and have a look at what they do. Make sure you also watch Paxton's Keyword Research webinar as well. Now, there's a link to that in the show notes of this podcast. And there's also a link to an amazing keyword research template as well, which Paxton has put together. You can download that as well. And also, there's a link to Paxton on LinkedIn. So get in touch and ask any questions. Now, can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free, and I'd love to be able to keep it that way. So if you could give it a quick shout on social media and subscribe on your favourite podcast app, it's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Google and everywhere else. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. You could also find all the links and things on my website, which is jtid.co.uk/podcasts. Right, enough rambling on. Let's get on with it. So the first thing I asked Paxton was, what is content marketing? Define what content marketing means.
Content marketing is the act of really creating content to help your clients find your service and move down the conversion path. So a great way to think about content marketing is to, people often think about marketing as an extension of your sales team. I've heard marketing defined as sales, but sales is one-to-one, and marketing is sales, but one-to-many. And that can be true, but I think a better way to think about marketing, especially content marketing, is customer service is one-to-one, and content marketing is customer service, but one-to-many. So if you think about your marketing as customer service rather than as an extension of the sales team, then that really gets into the idea of what content marketing is, which is creating great content to help your customers' lives improve, help them learn about your business, and ultimately help them convert to your product, your service.
Is it an internet thing, or did content marketing exist before the internet came along?
You know, I'm not sure how long the words content marketing have been used, but content marketing as a practice has been around forever, really. Companies producing content. I mean, you look at the JCPenney catalog from the 1800s.
Yeah,
that's basically content marketing. People clamored for that. They wanted that. You look at comic books as a kid. You know, that's a form of content marketing. Basically, anytime your company is creating content, that's content marketing.
So do you think it's the search engines which have really seen the boost in this, that search engines have come along and they deal predominantly with content, and we've got to create something to give to them, haven't we?
Yeah, search engines have definitely played a big role, specifically Google, in how content marketing is perceived and pursued by businesses. But businesses would be wise to think beyond the search engine when it comes to creating content. When you create content, you have the option. People think of it as you have to choose one or the other, which isn't true. But yeah, you can create content to be read and crawled by bots, essentially search engines. You know, it's somewhat easy to create content that will rank well, provided the keywords you're going after are somewhat low competition, if you follow some degree of a formulaic process. However, the real trick, and what has always been the trick since the dawn of time, is creating content that will persuade and convince an audience. And that is where the magic is. Like, sure, you can rank, but if you rank with content that's not going to convert, what's the point of ranking in the first place?
Yeah.
So I think have the consumer as the main focus of your marketing. Know how the search engines work, know how to optimize for that, but your primary concern should be creating content that persuades and achieves the objective.
So it's not necessarily just about the search engines. We could be creating some landing pages for an advertising campaign, for example.
Yeah. If I had to choose one skill that I could be perfect at, or if I had to recommend one skill to someone getting into marketing, it would be copywriting. Being able to write words to persuade effectively, that is one of the most valuable skills in marketing. because that translates into advertising, landing pages, content like we've been talking about, pitch decks. Really, there's so many forms that great copywriting takes.
So when we look at a piece of content, whether it's created for as a landing page or an ad campaign or for just to try and attract some more attention in the search engines, what are the essential things that an item of content needs? What should it have?
So number one, you need to know what to optimize for. That is the foundation of creating content that is going to rank well. You need to know what it is you want to target, which sounds way easier than it actually is.
It's hard, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So the first thing you need to start out with doing is keyword research. And keyword research is effectively you're sampling the market. You're trying to find out what is it people are trying to find? What are they searching for? And there are lots of ways to go about this. We've actually developed a method that is very, very accurate, very, very comprehensive, but also very, very easy. So if your listeners connect with me on LinkedIn, if you just go to LinkedIn and search Paxton Gray, PAXTONGRAY, you can connect with me and I'll send you a link to where you can download a template and a webinar where I walk you through how to use that template for free. You can also just search 97th floor keyword research and the first two results are the template and the webinar. And effectively what you're doing with the template is the goal is to find everything you currently rank for. Find everything 3 to 5 of your competitors currently rank for. And then you want to pick 1 or 2 micro publishers. So publishers that are hyper focused on your market and get everything they rank for. And then, so now you have just tons and tons of keywords. What you also need with that are how often are those keywords searched for per month? That's what we call volume. Then suggested bid, which is if you're running ads, how much should you be bidding, which is based off of the auction system. So the higher that number, typically the more valuable that traffic is. Not always, but typically. And then the last number you need is difficulty. How difficult is it going to be to rank for that keyword? There are lots of different algorithms and numbers for that, so just pick one and use that. SpyFu is a great tool for this. You can get all that data that you need from SpyFu in 30 seconds. So you're going to export all of those. So now, and then combine them and remove duplicates. So now you're left with a list of just 45,000, 50,000, 60,000 keywords that you, all your competitors and publishers in your industry rank for. There's basically no keyword that is searched in your industry that is not going to be on that list. Now the trick becomes how do you sort through that and find the best keywords? The rookie mistake is just to sort by volume and go after the really high volume keywords. Mm. But the problem is that's what everyone else is doing too. So those are typically the most difficult keywords. What you want to do, especially if you have a small team or a small marketing budget, is you want to go after those keywords that might have lower volume but are very, very low difficulty, but are exactly what you do. They're hyper-focused. The people who are searching that word want what you do. So I've created this template where you can pop in all of that data that you've gotten from SpyFu or whatever tool you want, and it will color code them. So green is good, red is bad. And then all you need to do is sort by top keywords, and the formula runs for you. And it will give you every keyword that has good traffic, good suggested bid, and low difficulty. And then all you need to do is pick which ones are actually relevant to your business. So effectively, you can sort through 45,000, 60,000 keywords within the span of just 15 minutes. And so that's the foundation of creating content, is knowing what people are searching for, and then and now we can optimize for that. So the thing that marketers do wrong all the time is they operate off their gut. They think, what do I think people are searching for, or what do I think would be a good piece of content?
Yeah.
And that's bad, right?
Yeah.
What we need to use data to find out what they think. We are not the market, and whatever our experience is, that's wrong because we are not the market. So now we have this list of keywords that we know people are looking for that are good opportunities. So then from there, it's really quite a simple process of you need to make sure that keyword appears in title tag, in the URL, in the content. You need to build internal links from other times you mentioned that word on your site and point that back to this new page. And then really from there, I think I recommend having your primary focus be, how do I make this piece of content really valuable for the people consuming it? Beyond the basic optimizations, which is just, title tag, URL, make it, put in H1 tag, put it in the content. But beyond that, just make it really good content. I think you're not going to go wrong if you focus primarily on how do we make this really great content.
It's interesting you said about the keyword research, about not going for those kind of like those big numbers and things. When you go for the smaller numbers, things tend to get more niche and the conversion rate tends to get better as well.
Yes, exactly. Google just released, well, they haven't released it yet. They just announced that next year there's going to be a very significant update to the algorithm. So significant, in fact, that they're going to be giving us a 6-month heads up. So not only do we know it's coming next year, but we are going to get a 6-month heads up for when it before it launches. And the main thing that this update is concerning is page experience. So Google's basically saying, we're going to use lots of different metrics, some of which we're already using, some of which we will be using, but it deals around what is the experience that customer is having with your page. So things like load speed, usability, all of that matters. But they're also going to be looking at things like, does the person just bounce off of the page after they see, like, did they not find what they were looking for? And other metrics that indicate that it was quality content or content that they did not want to see. So doing things like conversion rate optimization, optimizing the experience that the customer has on your content is going to be imperative. So like you said, going after these niche keywords that are hyper-focused on a specific intent is going to improve bounce rates. So that's going to help with your ranking. So it's going to be nothing but good going after these keywords that are very tied down to a specific desire and thing that someone's searching for.
Yeah, I think the user experience thing is really interesting. You mentioned that. I think one of the little measurements Google's introducing is when pages move around, stuff moves about on the page because things load later. We've all seen it when you go on a mobile phone and you go to tap something and it just moves. And then you go,
That
drives me mad.
Yes, it's infuriating. Yeah. Making sure that the mobile experience is great is imperative, especially if you look in analytics, you can see who is coming to your site more. Are they coming to your site via a desktop more often than mobile? Then you might want to think about desktop. But if they're coming on mobile more often than desktop, you should be designing for mobile first. And even more than what they're using is what they convert on. So it may be that they visit your site more often on desktop, but they end up actually converting more often on mobile. So that means you need to make sure that mobile experience is nailed down. That's what's converting more often than desktop or vice versa. So looking through analytics and see who's coming, but also who's converting, and designing your site and with that in mind is crucial.
How would a piece of content differ then if it was for an advertising campaign? So we're running an AdWords campaign, because the keyword research would tend to be done on the advert side of it, where we're targeting a set of keywords on a particular advert. And then can the content be different?
It can be, yeah. But I think that for too long, our industry has separated the two. And there are lessons to be learned from both sides. On the advertising side, some great best practices there is that, number one, you have a very clear call to action, and you only have one. You don't want to have a landing page that you're running ads to that have many calls to action or that bury the call to action. The point of that page is to get them to take the next step. And in content, we often forget that. We're creating our blog and we think, okay, we just want to provide this valuable content, which is true. But there should be no page on your website that does not have a clear call to action. At our agency, we've been focused on helping our clients squeeze as much juice from the orange as they can right now. The pandemic has caused a lot of changes. Traffic's down in a lot of areas. So the key is, if traffic's down or ad budgets, aren't bringing in as much traffic as they used to, how do we squeeze as much as we can out of that? Number one is you should be nothing in your business that does not have a call to action. Yeah. And I mean nothing. Yeah. Your business cards should have a call to action. They should say, hey, download this thing that we created or visit this page. There should be no blog post that doesn't have a clear call to action. And thank you pages is something that people often forget. Sure. A thank you page should have a clear call to action. It's just like the landing pages in our ads. And then on the flip side, in content, we're really great at providing value and speaking to the user and really getting on their level. And sometimes on the landing pages, we forget that. We're so hyper-focused about what we get out of this transaction that we're not really thinking about what they get out of this transaction. And so putting ourselves in the shoes of the user, it can go a long way to building more effective landing pages that convert more often. And doing conversion rate optimization is key for that.
Yeah, I'm really glad you, I'm really glad you mentioned call to action buttons, because it's a thing of mine. It's kind of like, look at a web page and think to yourself, what do I want somebody to do next?
Exactly. There should always be something to do next.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of leads us on to a few techniques that we can use to improve our goal completions within our content.
So conversion rate optimization is an important thing that businesses should be doing. And even if you have a small team, this is something that you can implement just maybe on a more basic level. And, you know, some people know conversion optimization is A-B testing. Basically, what we're doing is we have two variants of this page. And we're going to say, you know, this one includes this headline and this one includes this headline. We're going to see after enough time which one converts at a higher rate. And we know that that's what people prefer. So you can use Google Optimize for this. That's free. It's a very simple software that will allow you to run two different variants. And then you can get into some more complex involved software like VWO. But I would recommend just using Google Optimize. And you can search for best practice CRO. It can get a little intense when it comes to statistical significance. But for the most part, it's a real basic idea, which is I'm going to run version A and version B. And after enough time passes, I can see which one converts better. And then that becomes the new version of my page. There's nothing quite like A-B testing or conversion rate optimization to demonstrate more the fact that marketers have no idea what they're doing.
Sure.
We have a client, Koyo. They produce these really high-end sneakers, and they're based in Italy. And we ran this test, and mind you, this was right in the middle of the height of the pandemic in Italy. Like, the whole country was locked down.
Sure.
And we ran two variants. One included some more details about the sneakers and information about financing specifically. The other, we did everything the same, but we removed any language about how you could finance or you could make payments. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, that's obviously when we say, hey, you can make payments, that's going to convert higher, right? Yeah. But we removed that language, and suddenly their conversion rate went up 26%. So their revenue went up 29% in the middle of a pandemic. Sure. By taking off the language about how you can make payments. You don't have to pay it all up front, which is just like blew my mind. But that's conversion rate optimization. And that's so by learning that, now we learn a little bit more, just a little bit more about that market and what they think and what they prefer. And then we can do another test. And with each test, we get a little bit closer to kind of the ideal landing page for that particular market.
Is it worth looking at things like scroll depth, how far people scroll down the screen, how long they spend within a web form when they're trying to fill it in? Is it worth looking at these numbers as well?
I think it can be, yeah, depending on the objective of the page. So we're recommended by Moz. We're one of their like recommended agencies, and that's kind of been a big deal for us for the past few years. But we looked at our scroll depth, and we saw people were only making it about halfway down the page before they left to another page on our site. And the part where we mentioned that we're a Moz recommended agency was on the bottom half of the page.
Yeah.
So the vast majority of people were never even seeing that we were a Moz recommended agency. So we moved that up, and then conversion rates increased. So
sure.
Yeah, seeing scroll depth is great. Forms, like you mentioned, that's so important to see how people are interacting with and getting caught up on your forms.
The whole internet for years put the form at the bottom of the page. You read the
right
text, and then the form is at the bottom of the page, whereas it's kind of like stick the form at the top where people can see it, because they don't get to the bottom.
Yeah. And then form design, you know, are you asking for too much information up front? Or you know, you might say, I need all this information. Great. Well, maybe you split that up into three forms, and so you get them in with a really simple form. And then we have the psychology of humans, you know, once we take one step, it's easier to take the next step. So, you know, maybe split your form up into a couple steps. Just seeing, you know, forms is like a whole, you could take a whole college class on forms yeah. and form design, but guaranteed, whatever your site is, your form could be better right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think are the biggest mistakes the content marketers are making right now?
So like I said, the biggest mistake is that we assume that we know what the market is thinking and what they will like. Yeah. And that's a human thing. You know, we often think, you know, I've seen a lot of the world. I know a lot of things. And so I have a good finger on the pulse of you know, the culture and what people are thinking and feeling and doing, right? Yeah. And for some, that may be more true than others, but none of us have a complete understanding of what's happening in the world and in culture and what other people are thinking. And that assumption often leads us to make really poor choices. So number one is we need to gather more data to better understand our audience. So keyword research is great for that. There are other tools. One tool I would recommend is called SparkToro, SparkToro. SparkToro is phenomenal. What it does is it allows you to say, hey, anyone who describes themselves as an accountant, which Twitter accounts do they follow? What podcasts do they listen to? What websites do they frequent? And that allows you to learn more about a particular market. You know, people who describe themselves as an accountant, they follow a particular football team more than others, you know, which is just like fascinating. So if you're looking to do some sponsorship or write a piece of content about football to attract accountants, you might want to write about that team. So SparkToro is a really great resource for that. And then another thing that marketers need to do is to learn more about their audience is get on the phone with customers, join sales calls, interview people who converted and people who didn't convert. Marketers are often very separated from the front lines of the business. And I always say, you know, if you're going to an industry trade show or you have a booth somewhere, you know, the team, like obviously your sales team needs to be there, but the team that really, really needs to be there is your marketing team. They need to be there talking to people, learning about what they're thinking, learning about their objections so that when they go back to create that landing page or that piece of content, they have in their mind's eye a kind of an amalgamation of all the people they talked to that day. And they can speak to them at a level that they might not have spoken to before because they didn't know exactly who their market was. So that's the biggest thing that we're doing wrong is not truly understanding our market and talking to them in a way that they want to be spoken to.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think talking to the support department as well, if you've got a big enough company to have a separate support department, mm-hmm. you can look at the questions that people are asking over and over again, and these can lead to new content ideas.
Exactly. Yep, same thing with sales. If people have the same objection over and over and over again, you can create marketing that will preemptively answer those objections before they ever get to the sales team. Another thing that marketers do wrong is, again, they view themselves as an extension of the sales team. They have, and this isn't necessarily their fault, it's probably more on the executive suite's fault, but you know, their main objective here is leads, 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 conversions, conversions, conversions. And those are important things, right? No marketing team in their right mind would not be thinking about leads and conversions. However, it should not be marketing's primary goal to focus on leads and conversions. Their primary goal should be focused on how do I make the lives of my target market better with my marketing? How do I offer them valuable information? How do I hold their hand through this process? How do I answer their concerns and create a seamless experience from beginning to end? Because your marketing teaches consumers a lot about your business. If your marketing demonstrates this idea that we're out for us, we're out for the conversion, we're out here to just get your money, that teaches them that that's what your product is about. But if your marketing instead teaches them that we understand you, we get who you are, and we're just here to make your life better, that says that, that communicates that same message about your product. So marketers should just primarily be thinking about, I have this marketing budget, what can I do to impact the lives of my market for the better so that I can build some affinity for this brand? Because if you can do that, if you can build affinity, if you can make their lives better, then what will happen is they will turn into raving fans. And raving fans basically do your job for you. If you have enough people who just love your business, who love your company because of the marketing and because of the product, then what they will do is turn around and market for you, right? And if you get enough of those, you can just sit back and just relax because you've got an army of people spreading the good word about your company.
It's almost like the sale and the lead is almost like a byproduct of what you're
doing. Exactly. Just like I think many great businesses, they don't start by asking by saying, I want to just make a ton of money. How do I make a ton of money? I think great businesses say, I want to make the world a better place. I want to solve a problem for someone. And obviously, I want to make money, right? Money's part of it. I can't ignore the money. But the main focus is solving this problem, right? I think the same thing should be true for marketing.
And it's easy to lose that focus, isn't it? Once you've been going for 5, 10, 15 years as a business, you kind of forget why you started it right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, success sometimes leads to some of our biggest mistakes and downfalls is, you know, we always want to do what brought us success in the past. And so we're unlikely to change our tactics to bring a success in the future. It's the same thing for marketing. This ad set has always led me to see a bunch of leads, so I'm going to always run this ad set. But the fact is the market changes, the world changes, and that ad set may not perform as well as it used to. And we have to be willing to burn all of our plans and reform new ones to adapt to the market.
It's fascinating chat. I could chat to you for hours and hours about all this. I could. Paxton, where can we find you? Mention your template again, where we can grab that.
Yeah. So if you just Google 97th floor, that's 97th space FLOOR, keyword research, the first two results. So one will be a webinar and one will be a keyword research template. So you can download the template and then watch the webinar and it'll walk you through step by step how to use that template. And then you can also connect with me on LinkedIn. If you just go to LinkedIn and search Paxton Gray, PAXTONGRAY, I should be the first result there. And I'd love to connect and talk more about marketing.
Fantastic, Paxton. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Paxton. Really interesting chat. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode of Not Another Marketing Podcast, you can subscribe for free on your favorite podcast player. It's on all of them, everywhere. You could also give the podcast a quick shout on social media. That would be really appreciated. You can find all the links and everything you need at jtid.co.uk/podcasts. Thanks for listening.